Okay, tonight is Monday, January 9th, or Yudalet Teves. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai, we're on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay. We're up to in the middle of the page where the Gemara is questioning why is it that for lulav, which midoraisa is bigvu, is obligatory throughout the world one day, and the rest of the days obligatory only in the Mikdash for an additional 6 days, and yet we make a Zecha LeMikdash all 7 days. Yet Arava, which also is in the Mikdash all 7 days, we only make a Zecher one day, on Hoshana Rabbah. So the Gemara's question is, why is it that we make a Zecha LeMikdash for Lulav all 7 days to commemorate the activity in the Mikdash, and we do not make a Zecha LeMikdash for 7 days to commemorate the activity of Arava that took place in the Mikdash for 7 days? That was the middle of the... So the Gemara's gone back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So now the Gemara is going to finally answer the question, Ela Amar Rav Zvid, exactly in the middle of the Gemara, Mishmei de Rava. Says the Gemara, Lulav de Islay Ikar min HaTorah Bikvulin Avdinun Le Shiva Zecha LeMikdash. Lulav, which is Migda Oraisa throughout the world, so there you can make a Zecha LeMikdash for 7 days. Arava de lesle ikar min haTorah bigvulin lo avdin on shiva zecha lemikdash. Arava, which does not have any application in the Beis Hamikdash, excuse me, in gvulin, any place out of the Beis Hamikdash, only in the Mikdash, therefore you don't make it for 7 days. Again, lulav, which has a mitzvah outside of the Mikdash, day number one, so then you can make a Zecha LeMikdash for what took place in the Mikdash for 7 days. Arava, which does not have an activity outside of the Mikdash, so we only make a Zecha LeMikdash one day to remember what took place in the Mikdash. So look at me. So you look at me. What's the logic of that? So what? The Gemara is answering. We make a Zecha LeMikdash of Lulav for 6 days extra. Why? Because the mitzvah was, where was the extra 6 days? Only in the Mikdash. Why do I make a 6 day Zecha LeMikdash? Because on the first day I even had to take the Lulav in the Tel Aviv. But Arava, which only takes place for 7 days in the Mikdash, therefore 1 day is enough. That's what he says. Does that make any sense, Rabotai? I ask you, does it make any compelling sense? No, it doesn't. What might be the reason? Just because of the fact. So take a look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Rashi is about 10 lines from the top of the Rashi, where it says, Ikar. Quoting the Gemara, Lulav Islay Ikar Min HaTorah. Look what Rashi says. Rashi, unfortunately, doesn't add much. Ikar yom echad mia yeshlo shoresh. One day at least, the mitzvah of lulav has a source in Torah Shebiksav.
Out in gvulin.
In gvulin.
There's a biblical kernel of source.
Okay, so that's nice. That's why you can make a zecha lemikdash for 6 days, because in gvulin it's there one day. That's why I make a 6 day commemoration of the activity of lulav in the mikdash. Aval Arava ain lo shum shoresh min haTorah b'gvulin. That's nice. Okay, so what? So what? What difference? What is the difference? What is the difference? How does the fact that on the first day lulav applies in Tel Aviv, how does that tell us we should have six more days of Zechel HaMikdash? But a Rava, which doesn't have anything out of the Mikdash, therefore one day is enough. What does one have to do with the other?
What are you trying to achieve with the Zechel HaMikdash? Didn't you want to discuss why?
We're trying to have a trying to understand why there is a difference in the Zechel HaMikdash.
Let's go backwards. What's the purpose of the Zechel HaMikdash in the first place?
To commemorate what takes place in the Mikdash.
Are we commemorating? Wasn't there something we said there were two different ways of looking at the Zechel?
That is correct. There are two ways. One is to remember. One time you have a Zechel HaMikdash to recreate activity the way it was in the Mikdash. And other times, the Zechel HaMikdash is instituted to remember that to remind us of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. These two don't fit that equation. Don't fit that equation. So I want to explain what the Gemara has in mind, based on something the Rav once said, to explain what the Gemara has in mind, linking the Zechel HaMikdash with the first day of activity that takes place in the Mikdash. In order to serve, to understand it, to explain it, I want you to take a look at Tosfos, the sheet that I distributed. It's on the bottom of the page. This is Tosfos in Megillah, on the Chaf Amud Beis. On the bottom, Tosfos. It's a little small, I know that. It's the second to the last line of Tosfos. Second to the last line of Tosfos. I'm sorry, I forgot to blow it up. To enlarge it. Tosfos says... What? Yeah, right. We're all young. We're young guys. You know, just some of us have a little more trouble seeing, but we're all young guys. What does Tosfos write? It's next to that star, in a parenthesis in a star. Tosfos writes... V'achar shabirich al hasvira oimer yehi ratzon sheyibaneh beis hamikdash mehera v'yameh. We all say this. Even though in this shul we don't say, you know, lamatzeach, this, and we don't do pinchik's rabbeinu shalom of svira, right? The second most famous piece of chazan is ever composed. The first one is pinchik's rosh hashanah. Pinchik's Rebbeinu Shalom is like a mystical piece. Pinchik's is one of those famous pieces. So everybody knows, after you count it, you say the little Yiratza, right? Shiyachzu lono avoydas beis hamikdash l'mkaylu v'mehera v'yameinu amensel. Says Tosfos, after you count the Omer, you say this Yiratza. Now I have no idea what he's talking about Shofar. I can't explain, but I can know what he's talking about by Lulav. I know what he's talking about by Shofar. I can tell you why he says there's a difference between Lulav and why do we say the Sihi Ratzon after we count the Omer? Why? Because we paskin against the Rambam that mitzvah Sfiras Hayom is only midrabbanan and bizmanazah. Why? Because there's no korban oimer. No korban oimer. The Rambam is the only Rishon who believes that the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer is independent of the korban oimer, and that the mitzvah of Sfiras Hayom is midaraisa bizmanazah. But all other Rishonim believe that the mitzvah of counting the Omer is only midrabbanan. So therefore, why is it a midrabban? It's a Zechel HaMikdash. Because in the time of the Mikdash, when there was a Karban, then there was a mitzvah of counting the Omer. So Tosfos says, when you count Omer, you demonstrate that this mitzvah is a Zechel HaMikdash. How do you demonstrate it's a Zechel HaMikdash? By saying, Yehi Ratzon, Shetatzelon Avodah, Beis HaMikdash, B'mkeber V'yameinu. Very nice. Now Lulav, the rest of Sukkot, is also a Zechel HaMikdash. It's only a Zechel HaMikdash. Midaraisa, you only have taken Lulav one day. And yet, in no Machzor is it printed that after you pick up your lulav, or after halel, on the second day through the seventh day of Yantiv, should you say, Yehi Ratzon Shin Yibana Besam Eglish Meir Miyamehu? It doesn't say so. Why not? Because there are two different things that take place with a Zecher LeMikdash. Lulav, when Chazal tell us that we should take lulav, yes, the motivating reason for it is the Zecher LeMikdash. But what is, when you take the lulav, what are you doing? You're being the kind of mitzvah of lulav. You're being the kind of mitzvah of lulav. When you're counting the Omer, says Tosfos, you're not really getting credit for the mitzvah of counting the Omer. You are not. What are you being mekayim by counting the Omer today? You're mekayim the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash. There's a mitzvah to remember the Beis HaMikdash. Tzion Doresh Ein La Drash, we had on that Men Aleph. Michlal, the Bayi Drisha. Yirmiyahu bemoans the fact that nobody is inquiring about the welfare of Tzio, Doresh Ein La, says the Gemara. Michlal de Bayad Risha. Apparently, we are supposed to inquire about its welfare, express our longing to restore the Beis HaMikdash. So this is what our Gemara has, and I'm going to amplify. This is what our Gemara has in mind. Lulav sheyesh lo ikar min haTorah. Lulav, where the mitzvah of lulav applies on the first day in Tel Aviv. So in Tel Aviv, what mitzvah are you fulfilling when you take lulav? Lulav, that's the mitzvah you take. So the Zecher LeMikdash, when the Chachamim now said we should what? Take the lulav Zecher LeMikdash, they weren't just telling us to what? To take a lulav, to remember the mikdash. What they asked us was to engage in the mitzvah of lulav in additional 7 days. Why? Because they had their hat to hang on. What hat do they have to hang on? How could they tell us to observe lulav days 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7? How? Because the first day there's a mitzvah of lulav. However, Arava outside of the mikdash never existed. There is no such thing as Arava outside of the mikdash. Therefore, when Chazal introduced the minhag to engage in Arava, what only function does it have? What function does it only have? It's only a Zecher LeMikdash. So where are you doing something as a Zecher LeMikdash, claims Rav Zvid in the name of Rav and Al Gemara? One day is enough. One day is enough. Once during the Yantiv of Sukkos, engage in a Zecher LeMikdash, that there was such thing called an Arava. But lulav is not purely Zecher LeMikdash. Lulav is designed to in effect tell us that you are being mekayim the mitzvah of lulav for 7 days. Yes, the reason behind it is because of the fact that we want commemorate activity in the mikdash. That is correct. But once they found an address outside of the mikdash, then it gives a little clout to taking that lulav days 2 through 7, and you are being mekayim the mitzvah of lulav. So Tosfos says that's why for lulav nobody ever had a havamin of say you should say a he ratzon after you pick up lulav. Why? Because the mitzvah that you're being mekayim is the mitzvah of lulav. You're not being mekayim the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash. But Sfiras HaOmer, there is no mitzvah aside from Zecher LeMikdash. In fact, the Gemara in Menachos and Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph quotes an opinion, so Machlokes Ameimar and Rabbanan de Beir Abashi, whether you should count weeks b'zman hazeh or not, or only count the days. So the Gemara says, why would anybody tell us not to count the weeks? After all, the Torah formulates the mitzvah in two ways. Tisperu chamishim yoyim and sheva shabbosos to mimos diena. In Parshas Re'ed, only says, shiva shavuos tisparlach. Mehelchel Charmesh Batoma doesn't even say anything about counting 50 days. That's in Parshas Emor. So why wouldn't you count the weeks to demonstrate that the mitzvah is only Zechel HaMikdash? You do a mitzvah in an incomplete fashion to demonstrate this is not really a mitzvah of counting the Omer. This is not really a mitzvah of counting the Omer. So therefore, this is what Rav Zvid has in mind. Lulav sheyeshlo ikar or shoresh min haTorah. So now when the Rabbanan recreate the mitzvah, days 2 through 6, they hang their hat on the mitzvah which existed bikvul in day number 1, and can now claim that we are engaged in a mitzvah of lulav for 7 days. But Arava sheeno ikar min haTorah, there was no way for them to say, hey, ladies and gentlemen, just make believe you're being the kind of mitzvah Arava in Tinek. What do you mean, make believe you're being the kind of mitzvah Arava in Tinek? There was never a mitzvah of Arava in Tinek. It was only Zechel, only the Mikdash. Therefore, its entire essence is only a Zechel of Mikdash. Consequently, the Gemara felt, I don't know, I could have said you can have a Zechel of Mikdash for 7 days, but they felt, since it's only a Zechel of Mikdash, 1 day happens to be enough. 1 day happens to be enough. That's the pshat in the Gemara. I just can't explain for the life of me what Tosfos has in mind about Shofar. I can't figure it out. Because even at a time when you did blow in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, only in the Mikdash, that wasn't because the mitzvah was limited to Mikdash. There is no pasuk in Tanakh that says that Tkiyah Shofar is only in the Mikdash. No. The only reason why they blew on Shabbos in the Mikdash was because outside of the Mikdash, as we've learned, they legislated Gzeirah d'Rabbah. They were afraid that people were going to carry the Shofar. And the Mikdash, they didn't legislate. So why would I have a Havamina of Seger Yehi Ratzon when I blow Tkiyah Shofar? Would anybody have a Havamina of saying blowing Yehi Ratzon eat matzah? Why would anyone say Yehi Ratzon to remember the Beis HaMikdash? Why? I don't know what Tosfos had in mind when he said, you know, we don't say a Yehi Ratzon by Shofar. By Lulav, as we just said, we can explain. By Shofar, I have no idea what he's talking about. Why would I even entertain that? I need Tosfos to tell me that you don't say Yehi Ratzon by Shofar? I don't need Tosfos. Why would I ever say Yehi Ratzon? It's not a mitzvah which is connected to Zechel HaMikdash. So I really can't explain what's running through Tosfos' mind concerning Shofar, but we can borrow his idea in relationship to Lulav and at least explain Rav Zvid in our Gemara. Therefore, Lulav sheyesh lo ikar min haTorah, so therefore is Zechel HaMikdash 7 days, and it's not a mitzvah of Zechel HaMikdash, it's a mitzvah of Mekayin, a mitzvah of Lulav, and that's why, if you remember from Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis, the first Amud in Lulav HaGazel, there were many Rishonim who believed that all of the psulim of Lulav and Esrog that apply on day 1, apply on day 2 through 7 too, even though it's only a Zechel HaMikdash. All the Baliata, all the Chachmei Ashkenaz, every last one of them, Rashi, Tosfos, and in fact, we accept them to some extent. If your pitim breaks off, can you make a bracha on it the 2 days through 7? You cannot make a bracha on it. Why? Because we respect Rashi's opinion that it's possible. We don't paskin like him, so therefore you can be mekayin mitzvah with something that's lacking hadar, but you can't make a bracha on it because we respect Rashi's opinion, and Tosfos' opinion, that it's possible. So to some extent, the Rashi and Tosfos believe it's possible day number 2 just as day number 1. Because the mitzvah is a mitzvah of lulav, not purely a mitzvah of Zechel HaMikdash. That's essentially the machlokes, whether a yavesh is possible day number 2. According to some Rishonim, the Rambam, most of the Chachmei Svarad, all of the psulim listed for lulav and esrog go only into day number 1. Day number 2, it's a Zechel HaMikdash. Zechel HaMikdash, all you need is the min. All you need is a lulav. Who cares what it looks like? It's a Zechel HaMikdash. Who cares? That is the core of the machlokes between the Rambam and Rashi in that respect. Okay. Lama Gein Weiter. Amar Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says, Kohanim Bale Mumin Nichnasin Bein Ha'ulam Lemizbeach Kidei Latzeis Ba'arava. We've touched upon this before. Here is the issue. So Reish Lakish says, Kohanim Bale Mumin, a Kohen who is a Bal Mum, is allowed to walk into the Mikdash and be makif the Mizbeach, to go bein ha'ulam le Mizbeach, between the Kodshei HaKadoshim and the Mizbeach, to circle the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is in the Kodesh, but the Ulam is the Kodshei HaKadoshim, so if you walk around the Mizbeach, you are going between the Kodshei HaKadoshim and the Mizbeach. So the Reish Lakish says Balei Mumin are permitted to go there. Good. Now we're going to see a machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban about the status of Bal Mum and how this impacts our Gemara. Please take the sheet once again.
Can you say that Yisrael is one?
We're going to see about this. Is going to be the sugya. Some are going to say no, it's only Kohanim. This is the sugya. Okay, this is the Rambam in Perek Vav of Hilchos Bias Mikdash. And if you want to see the Ramban, Tali, you're going to have to check Sefer HaMitzvos, Lo Ta'aseh Samach Tes, and the Ramban on the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Ramban, that's where he is, his attack on the Ramban. And the Megillus Esther there defends the Ramban, as always. So the Rambam writes here, and he codes this in Mitzvah Samach Tes of Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam writes, Kol Kohen Sheyesh Bo Mum, any Kohen who has any of the physical defects enumerated in Parshas Emor, Bein Mum Kavua, Bein Mum Over, whether the Mum is a permanent one from which the Kohen will not recover, and he is now permanently disqualified, Bein Mum Over, or even if it's a temporary one from which the Kohen might recover, but in the interim has not yet recovered, Lo Yikanes LeMikdash Min HaMizbeach Ulufnim, he is not permitted to enter the Mikdash for passing the Mizbeach. Shine Emar El HaParochas Lo Yavo Vel HaMizbeach Lo Yigash, he shall not go to the parochas. The parochas is the curtain that was mavdil between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Vel HaMizbeach Lo Yigash. Ve'im Ovar Ve'nichnas Lo Ker Afal Pishelo Ovad. If the Kohen who has this Mum enters, despite the fact that he did not do the Avodah on the Mizbeach, he gets Malkus for having walked in. Ve'im Ovad Be'mikdash Pasal v'chilu avoda. If he actually did the avoda, it is disqualified and he is disgraced the avoda. V'loker afalo avoda. Not only will he get malchus for entering once, for entering, he will also get malchus for worshipping and doing on the mizbeach. Shine emar ashiyeh bo mum lo yikrav. Mipi hashmua landu she'azharazu shelo yikrav la'avoda. Doesn't say, it just said low yikrav, doesn't say where he should not approach. But the Torah Shabbat Pes interpret this, he shall not approach the Mizbeach and do any avodah. So the Rambam is quite clear and says that a Bal Mum, even if he's not doing the avodah, is not permitted to enter. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos vehemently disagrees and claims that there's only one lav, and that is a lav who is oved, a Kohen Bal Mum who is oved, is loker. But a Kohen who is simply nichnas but doesn't do the avodah, says the Ramban, there's no isa d'oraisa whatsoever. It's only an isa midrabban. Only an isur midrabban. So says the Ramban. That what? V'zeh she'ein nichnasin ma'le osu midivreyem. Now says the Ramban, the Gemara, our Gemara says, a Kohen Bal Mum is permitted to enter. Why, says the Ramban, is a Kohen Bal Mum allowed to enter? Why? Because there's a mitzvah. And if there is a mitzvah, the Rabbanan gzeira doesn't apply. Many times we see bimkol mitzvah loy gazu barabbanan. So according to the Ramban, Resh Lakish's statement is perfect. Namely, that the mitzvahs aseh of fulfilling the netilas arava overrides the isa derabban. Overrides the isa derabban. So says the Ramban. In defense of, now, will the Rambam have any difficulty with Rish Lakish then? Will the Rambam have difficulty with Rish Lakish? Apparently yes. Says the Megillas Esther, who in every printed edition of our Sefer HaMitzvos, the Megillas Esther is written on the side, right opposite the Ramban, and his job is to defend the Rambam against the critique of the Ramban. That's what his job is. He says, no difficulty whatsoever. Why? Because, did you ever hear that one mitzvah trumps? You ever heard of Aseh Docha Lo Taaseh? We've all heard of that principle. Every time there is a conflict between a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah, the rule is Aseh Docha Lo Taaseh. As long as the Lo Taaseh is punishable only by Malkus, not by Misa. So therefore, I'll quote you the famous source. The famous source. It says, "Gedilim ta'aseh lecha al arba kanfos kisuscha asher techaseh ba." On every four-cornered garment, you have to wear tzitzis. Next pasuk, "Lo silbos shatnez semeru pishtin yachdav." Not to wear shatnez. Here is the case: you have a garment made out of linen and wool. Excuse me. You have a garment made out of linen. Tzitzis have to be made out of wool. Are you allowed to put tzitzis on a linen garment and thereby wear shatnez? The answer is, you're allowed to. Midda oraisa, you're allowed to. Why? Because that's the principle. We learn it after it. Aseh docha lo taaseh. Says the Megillas Esther, Ramban, don't bring any proofs from this Gemara that the Rambam is wrong. Because the Rambam can acknowledge and maintain loyalty to his opinion that the Isser is midda oraisa against a Baal Mum entering between the Mizbeah. But here, the mitzvah saseh of what? Of Arava overrides the Lo Taaseh. So what do you have to be a cup, says the Megillas Esther in defense of the Rambam. Truth be told, the Megillas Esther is very difficult. Because we have cannot identify another source that a halacha l'moshe misinai will be treated like a d'oraisa to violate a lo taaseh. Every other illustration of aseh docha lo taaseh, the aseh is mefurish in the pasuk. Black and white. Yeah.
If I'm more than that, the consensus was down to the smichus parashios.
Correct. No. That's where we learn out the principle of aseh docha lo taaseh. That's where we learn it out. That's not the only case. That's where we learn out the principle from, based on the smichus. Correct. But we have no illustration of aseh docha lo taaseh when the mitzvah aseh is not found before in the pasuk. And our Rava, as we will soon see, according to most authorities, the Chachamim in particular, there's no biblical source for the mitzvah rabbah. It's halach l'meshe misina. Gemara's going to quote it in a second. So to claim that mita oraisa there would be an isa for a baal mum to enter, and that the oraisa would be overwritten based on the halach l'meshe misina, that is very difficult to trace. Because every other illustration that we have of aseh docha lo taaseh applies even if, as long as the aseh is mefurish bekra, not if it's just halacha l'moshe misina.
When else do you make a difference between halacha l'moshe misina and d'oraisa?
We do. In other situations as well. In other situations as well. You can't give malchus for halacha l'moshe misina. Can't. There are many things. The Gemara is going to quote Esenetios, Nisuch Hamayim, and Aron. Esenetios is a halach in Shemitah. that you're not allowed to plant X number of trees within a given area. What's the guy said that he does? He plants those 10 trees during Shemitah year. Can't give him Malkus, because it's not Mefurish Bekra. It's a Doraisa, but it's not Mefurish Bekra. Anything which is not Mefurish Bekra, you can't assign the punishment which is written in the text. For example, Rabbi Akiva Shita, Tchumin is Aser mid the Oraisa on Shabbos. Tchumin, according to Rabbi Akiva, is Aser mid the Oraisa based on the Pasuk, Al Yetze Ish Mim Koimoi by Yom HaShvi, the Pasuk in Parshas B'Shalach. Tchumin, so the Tchum, not our Tchum of 4,000 Amos, but the Tchum of Yud Beis Mil, of 12 Mil, that according to Rabbi Akiva is the Oraisa. Yet, if a guy violates the Issa Tchumen, doesn't get kares. Why? Doesn't get skila. Because it's not black on white in the law of lo ta'aseh kol melacha. So in order to be included in the punishment, it's got to be black on white in that pasuk, in that particular text. So it would be somewhat difficult to claim that. There is a tshuva of the Rimigash. Tshuva of the Rimigash. Simon Mem Gemel. And it's Mamish Min HaShamayim that I found this. I don't have normally look through the tshuvas of the Rimagash. I normally don't. I'll tell you that right now. 2 weeks ago, somebody put on my shtender the tshuvas of the Rimagash. I have no idea who, but it was there 2 weeks ago on Shabbos. New, so I'm flipping through it. And I just see what kind of tshuvas. And there he is, talking about our case. Talking about our case. That was the guy who left it there gets schar for this particular part of the shir. What? Right? So the Rimagash says, comes up with a strange, the question he was asked was, how is it that anybody can claim that Am Yisrael make hakafot? Forget about claiming Bali Mu'min. That Am Yisrael should make a hakafa and walk in between the Mizbeah and the Kodesh HaKadoshim? How can you do that? How's it possible? So the Rimagash says, Hai hakafa, lav hakafa behiluch. That's what he writes. When it says hakafa, it doesn't mean you use your feet and walk around. That's not a hakafa. What is it? Ela hakafa ba'amida. This is a hakafa standing still. What does it mean? It means you approach up to the Mizbeach and then you walk away. Now you come back and you come up to the Mizbeach again. But nobody walked around the Mizbeach. Hai hakafa heva ba'amida. Ba'amida. And he quotes a Gemara in Yuma, Sha'ayu holchim. How you owned him, Svivosav, Vachach Holchin Lohem, Vachosin Umakifin, Vachomed him, Svivosav, Pamshnia. They stand next to it. So he finds a Gemara where the Gemara calls Hakafa simply by the fact that you walked away and you came back and you stood next to the Mizbech, those Hashan Hakafa.
You part of the circle that went around.
What?
Like the whole circle. Everyone made a group of circle, but you didn't walk around.
They didn't? That's correct.
What does Svivosav tell me?
Means here it means saviv, meaning not around and round, but standing next to it. That's what Rashi says on the spot. They didn't walk around it. So he says, what do you ask me, klutz kasha? Of course no Jew is allowed to go and make hakafa. It says, are you makifin and samizbech shiva pamim? Says, that doesn't mean hakafa, doesn't mean walking around. It means you walk it around over here and you came back. So in effect, you did like a circle. What did you do? You walked around, you came back here, you go around, turn around 7 times, and going back and never enter beyond the Mizbeach. That's what the Rimagash says. The Rimagash says.
Is there any reason Israel can go in that far?
Yes. Till there, yes.
And Kohanim
don't do that. No, a regular Kohen could, not a Kohen Baal Mum. Not a Kohen Baal Mum.
We're talking about the small Mizbeach inside, right?
The big, the Mizbeach, yes. The big Mizbeach. In the Chatzer.
Oh, in the Chatzer, not inside.
Not that's the Mizbeach HaZahav. No, I'm talking about the way the regular Korbanos are brought.
Okay.
Maybe my kifa means here, but if you looked at it top down, you'd see right. people all around you.
What?
You would see people all
around you. Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps. The Ritz Geus, one of the Rishonim, Rabbi Yitzchak Geus, one of the early, late Geonim, early Rishonim, says, how could the Rimagash, the holy Rimagash, say such a thing? But the Yerushalmi, in our Gemara here, says that the Hakafa is Zecher LeYericho. Zecher LeHakafa SheAsu BeYericho. Now I ask you, says the Ritz Geus, do you think that's what happened when they toppled the city of Yericho? They walked to the wall, and what happened? Then they walked back? No. They walked around the city and surrounded it. That's what the word hakafot means. Don't give me this business that hakafa means standing next to it and walking back and forth to it. That's ridiculous, he says. But that's what the Rimagash said, and the objection, of course, is that it doesn't mean that. Right? And the Or Zarua agrees with the Ritz Geus and says that no, there is a Yerushalmi b'mefurash, that Balei Mumin is Lavdafka, and it means Yisraelim as well. Why does it say Kain Balmum? That's the way to... a Kain Balmum is like a Yisrael, and that everybody walked around. There is what? There is an Issa to do so. Answer, the mitzvah allows you to do so. So the mitzvah allows not only a Kain Balmum. A Kain Balmum is just a term for each and every one of us. And therefore, according to this, everybody says you are allowed to make that hakafa.
Like the punishment for Yisrael to enter the area is also only Malkus?
What?
For Yisrael to enter that area is also only Malkus punishment?
That's correct. And now other Rishonim say, no. For us Yisraelim, I'm going to agree with the Rambam that it's an Issa Doraisa. For a Kohen Balmum, I agree only with, that's what? With the Ramban, and it's us only with the Rabbanim. So for an Issa Doraisa, we're never going to allow it based on a mitzvah saseh that's not listed black and white in the Torah. Therefore, we can't walk around. But a koyin balmum, where him, the Isser, is only midrabanan, we pushed aside the Isser derabanan and allowed him to walk around the mizbeach. That's how he interprets Resh Lakish's that Balei Mumin Heitiru. Balei Mumin Heitiru. So there are three or four different opinions. According to the Rambam, there's an Issa d'Oraisa for a Balmum to go, and apparently that Issa d'Oraisa is never waived. So not a Balmum, not an ordinary Yisrael. According to the Ramban, he doesn't talk about the Yisrael, but he talks about a Kohen Balmum. Kohen Balmum, it's Mutter Midoraisa, only Asa Midorabanan. The Issa Midorabanan is waived in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. The Megillus Esther claims that the Mitzvah Saseh, which is rooted in Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, is powerful enough to remove the Issa Midoraisa. That's how he would explain that the Rambam would allow a Kohen Balmum, even though it's an Issa Midoraisa. The Rimagash says, Hakafa doesn't mean Hakafa. So, nothing to talk about. And no Kohen Balmum, no Yisrael can certainly be Makif the Mizbeach. The Ritz Geus disagrees and claims that's not the word what Hakafa means. And therefore, you have to come onto the opinion and say, either there's no Issa d'Oraisa, it's only Midrabanan. If it's only Midrabanan, therefore Balei Mumin can do so. Or, you can adopt the Megillus Esther position that there's an Issa d'Oraisa, but the Halacha L'Moshe Sinai overrides the law, and therefore all of us could possibly have done so even on a d'Oraisa level. Even on a d'Oraisa level. Now, take a look at Tosfos, Kohanim Balei Mumin. Says Tosfos, small little Tosfos. Hu adin, they have a matzi lemeimar, uprue rosh. The Tarvayu Asire. What is Parua Rosh? What are Parua Rosh?
Yeah.
What? Two possibilities. What do you think it means? What? No. He's not talking about Isha Saita walking around here. It's similar to Ufara Es Rosha. Correct. The expression is written Ufara Es Rosha. But when it says Rasheim Al Tifra Umu, but the pasuk, what should a Kayan not do? Cut a baldy. Kayan totally baldy. Not allowed to walk around. Not allowed in the Mizbeach.
Don't they call them Kireach? They call
them baldy. No, that's sometimes they do. So here he's using the or another more common expression, Parua Reish, which is more borrowed from the Sota issue. What do we call them in Yiddish? No. That's what an aleph. Parua Reish. Blazing cup.
No covering.
Exactly. No hair covering. He wasn't wearing his hat. Parua Reish. To walk into the Mikdash, blazing cup. Begili Reish. Also usher to go into the Mizbeah. To do the Avaita, I don't need a special pasuk because he's Mechusa Begadim. He was not wearing his garments. That automatically disqualifies the Avaita. But here he's not doing the Avaita. He's just walking in. So the halach is Prue Reish, blazing cup. He is disqualified. He's not allowed to enter. So Taisa says, you have to say Kayim Bali Mumin. Who I didn't have a matzah Prue Reish, the Tarvayu Asiri. Ilav Mishum Arava. Kidisnan the Parakama de Kalim. Bein Olam Lemizbeach Mekudesh Emenu. She'ein Bali Mumin Uprue Rosh Nichnasan L'sham. So Taisa simply says, it's not only a Bal Mum. There are other disqualifications of a Kohen as well. The Mitzvah Arava overrides not only the Isur of Bal Mum, but Parua Rosh as well. And here I believe Taisus meant here that he's completely bald. That he's too bald. Or, you can have it, there's another possibility, that's Gadel Pera, his hair is too long. He didn't take a haircut in more than 30 days. Kayin is not allowed to go more than 30 days without taking a haircut. Kayin Gadol takes a haircut every week. Once a week, Kayin Gadol takes a haircut. So Chubbies is very busy, Bizman HaMikdash. Very busy. Because Kohen Gadol, they don't go to hair stylists. They go to Chubby. Once a week, and that's it. No, they don't. It's just a little thing that just goes straight with the hair, and that's it.
So Kohen Gadol didn't have a different kind of haircut?
He did. But you know, Chubby's is good enough. That's what I heard. Yeah. So it's not only limited, it's any Isur where there is a lav to enter under those circumstances. Again, Viter. Lamagain Vaita. Let's go further. What are we up to? Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Mi Amra. Who said this halacha? Which halacha did Rabbi Yochanan say? He was the author of the opinion, a couple of lines before we read tonight, that our Rava is halacha l'maishim Sinai. Couple lines above where we started reading tonight. There's about 10 lines above that. It says, "The Amar Rab Asiyom Rab Yochan Meshum Ben Mechonya Ish Bakas Beis Chorasan Esen Etios Arav Venisa Chamay Malachal Meshim Sinai." As opposed to Abba Shaul, who said that the mitzvah of Niso Chamayim, Arava is Mefurish Bekra, because the pasuk writes Belashen Rabim Arve Nochal. So Rab Yochanan said this. So now Amalei Rab Yochanan Mi Amra. Ask the Gemara, Mi Amra? Who said it? What do you mean? Ha'ihu Amar. He said it. The Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yoichanan. Mishum Rav Nechunya Ish Pikas Beis Churasan. Esen Etios, Arav Avanisa Chamayim. Halacha L'Moshim Messina. Hello. So now they reinterpret what was Rav Yoichanan's question. Obviously he wasn't such a fool who asked a question, who said what I just said? Who said what I just said? Even though there is a famous story with Rabbi Canifogel about that exact question was asked. Rabbi Canifogel wrote his master's, his doctorate, for Dr. Agus. Anybody go to YU have Dr. Agus? One of the great professors of Jewish history, one of the greatest lecturers.
Never quoted anyone else.
That's correct. He was supposedly an expert in Chachmei Ashkenaz, and he had a specific bias against Chachmei Svarad, because he was a professor of Jewish history, Chachmei Ashkenaz. He always used to say, while our ancestors were studying Torah, their ancestors, referring to Chachmei Svarad, were swinging from trees. He said. He says, it's Rambam, third-rate scholar. 56 questions were asked to the Rambam his whole lifetime, because we only have 56 tshuvas in Rambam. Rambam Rutenberg, 7,000 tshuvas. 7,000 people asked him the question. So Rabbi Canifogel did his PhD on the Ravan and the Rav Yar. Famous Chachmei Ashkenaz, not so famous, Rav Lichtenstein, he knows those from Ashkenaz, and he's defending his thesis to Professor Agus about certain things. So he writes in the thing, so Dr. Agus asked him, what moron would make a statement that you just made in your book here, in your paper? What moron? Says Dr. Agus, I was quoting you. You wrote that in your book. You said it. Me, Omro, who would make such a statement? You said it. You said it.
He got his degree anyway.
Yes. It's a famous Rabbi Canifogel story with Dr. Agus. He was a good lecturer, but his tests were like murder. You had to have a Messiah. So they ask you seven Kahanim Gedolim backwards.
Backwards.
Man, it's crazy.
Remember what he said about Rashi?
No, not quite.
Rashi is the baby.
No, I didn't remember that. Good. So Ella, so he reinterprets the Gemara's question. Ella, mi amra benitila, dilma b'zikifa. Mi amra bali mumin, dilma b'tmimin. He asked two questions. Whoever told you that the halacha l'maishim Sinai ever said that Arava requires Netila? Maybe it only means Bizkifa. So what would you have to do if Arava meant Bizkifa? What would you have to do? Walk up to the Mizbeach and put it there. Does anybody have to walk around the Mizbeach? Absolutely not. Just lean the Arava on the Zkifa. On the Mizbeach. Furthermore, even if you wanted to say that there is a mitzvah of Netila, who said that you have to say that Bali Mumin were permitted? Maybe my dear Talmud, my brother-in-law, Rish Lakish, was dead wrong. Ask Bali Mumin. Maybe he's wrong. Which Kohanim did the Natil? Which? Maybe Bali Mumin did so. Excuse me, Tmimim, where did he get this business, that Bali Mumin? And then you're going to have a possibility extending it to Odei Yisrael. Maybe it's Halach and Kol Kohuna. And that's it. Kind of, where'd you get that from? Where did you get that from? In fact, if you look in the Rambam, when the Rambam writes that there is a mitzvah of zikifas, Arava, he never ever mentions who does the zikifa. He just says, zikfin eso aravos al gabi hamizbeach. He doesn't tell us who does it. Does not tell us who does it. And it could very well be, as is many halachas of Kodshim, that it's not a kiyum in the Gavra, it's a kiyum in the Mizbeach. The halacha is that the Mizbeach should be mi'utar, mem ayin tek resh, mi'utar, with aravot. What is mi'utar? Like oter Yisrael b'safara, surrounded with a crown of aravot. Why would it? What would be the meaning of doing so? What symbol would be involved? So here, the Medrash happens to be instructive for us. The Medrash is instructive. We know that Arava is always considered the least chashuv of the arba minim. The Medrash tells us, ein lo tam ve'ein lo reyach. It doesn't have a particular fragrance. It doesn't taste like anything. As opposed to the Aravos with the least taste, at least the Esrog has both tam v'reyach. The lulav tree, at least the palm tree, has good taste. No good, no front. No, no, has good taste, but no smell. Fine. So the Arava is the pusha to eat, who has nothing, no Torah in Masim Tovim. But. There is still a redeeming quality that a Pushita Yid can have. And that is that it can have Emuna Pshuta. Simple Emuna. In fact, the Rambam makes a point of telling us that Avneto Shokoyen Hedyot, who Avneto Shokoyen Gadol. The garto that the Kohen Gadol, all of the garments that the Kohen Hedyot wore were different than the Kohen Gadol's. Even those that they shared. They both wore hats, but a different type hat. One was called a mitznefes, the other one called a mikbat. They had different types of clothing. But their gartel, says the Rambam, was the same. And the Pasuk says, V'haya ezor emunah ezor chalatzav. Let that which girds your loins be what? Emunah. When it comes to emunah, there's no such thing as hierarchy. You can be a Kohen Gadol, an ordinary Kohen, everybody's equal. And the same thing when it comes to simply having Emunah Pshuta, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides this world, symbolized by the Korban that we bring to Him on the Mizbeach, that could be for everybody. And everybody has that equal obligation. You don't have to be the greatest Talmud Chacham, you don't even have to be the greatest Baal Chesed in the world, nothing. Just Emunah Pshuta. Simple Amunah. And there are many people who are ma'aminim, despite the fact that in their own life they're not personally observant. But deep down, they believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of the world and their own destiny. The symbol of putting that was to be me'oter the Mizbeach with Arava, that every member of Klal Yisrael should see, that's at least the bare bones minimum. In which case, there's no kiyum on any particular individual. And therefore the Rambam didn't bother telling us that any specific category of a person, the Kahanim, all you need is one Kohen who took 10,000 batches of Aravos and pushed them on the Mizbeach, and that would be it. So the Rambam doesn't necessarily tell us who it is. Taisvis, the Dibur HaMaschal Amale, extends two possibilities as to whether or not the chiyuv was on once. It was definitely on Kahanim, as opposed to Rambam, who didn't say who does it. It was definitely on a Kahanim, but the question is, one day is one Kohen can do it for everybody. According to other daya, every single Kohen who's there has to take at least one Arava and put it on the Mizbeach. But Rabbi Yochanan's point was, who said that there is a mitzvah of Netila in the first place? Maybe the entire mitzvah Arava is Zakifa. If it's Zakifa, there's no reason to circle the Mizbeach, so we don't have to enter into a discussion whether Bali Mumin or Yisraelim can do so. There ain't no mitzvah to pick it up. It's just to be Zakif on the Mizbeach. Furthermore, even if you claim that there is a mitzvah of Netila, who said it has to be done by Bali Mum? Maybe my brother-in-law Rish Lakish is dead wrong. Maybe the halach is, it has to be a Kohen who is a Tamim, who has the legal right to enter. Where does it say any place that it had to be a Bal Mum? So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan questions the entire premise that is established by Rish Lakish, which is the basis of the Gemara which we discussed. Itmar. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi. There's a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi. The Gemara later on will then discuss what difference does it make, this particular machlokes. What is the origin of our practice to take our Rava today? Chadomar Arava Yisoid Nevi'in. One opinion is that the mitzvah Arava today is a takana of Nevi'im. Takana of Nevi'im. Yisoy the Nevi'im. V'chad amar arava minhag Nevi'im. Namely, there was never any takana announced by anybody that you must take an arava zecher l'mikdash. None. It happened to have been a practice which was done by the later Nevi'im who saw Churban Bayis Rishon, and therefore people practiced this particular practice, but there was no command to do so. The Gemara on Amud Beis will tell us what difference does it make whether it's a minhag or there was an absolute takana. An absolute takana. In fact, does anybody happen to recite, it's in your machzor, in our machzorim, on Hoshana Rabbah, there is a Yehi Ratzon right at the end of the Hoshanas. Does anybody remember which of the two opinions has the machzor adopted?
Minhag.
What?
Minhag.
Correct.
Minhag.
That's what it says. That we should, that HaKadosh Baruch should accept minag neviim zeh, so he should give us mechila and so on and so forth. But our Gemara, our piyut accepts the practice that there is no takana to take lulav and esrog. I mean, aravat b'sman hazeh. It's only a minag neviim, only minag neviim. Tistayim de Rabbi Yochanan hu de Amar Yisoid Nevi'im. I'm going to bring proof that it is Rabbi Yochanan who said that it's only Yisoid Nevi'im. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Arava Yisoid Nevi'im. Tistayim, good proof, he said it. He was the one who, it's not Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. How do I know it's not Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Because Rabbi Yochanan is the one who said, I heard Rabbi Yochanan ben say that it's Yisoid Nevi'im, that it was a takana of the Nevi'im. And therefore, it has somewhat of a greater status than a minhag neviim, as we'll see when we continue. All right, we'll stop here and continue. Let's see. No, next week I won't be. I'll be in Israel. Yeah, there will be no shir the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be in Israel.